I have, as every week, a big subject on my mind. The more I thought about it, the more I tried to figure it out, the bigger it got. I don't mean to be funny, but to illustrate this, what I'm talking about is, or that concept, is my father-in-law asked me to, he convinced me to try chitlins one time. And at first, when I put them in my mouth, the oil and the breading tasted pretty good. But the longer I chewed on it, the bigger it got. And I couldn't swallow it. There are some things in God's Word that are difficult to understand if you delve into it deep. And you'll never understand all of God's Word. You'll never be able to swallow it all. But boy, it sure is nice to chew on it. It sure is nice to chew on it. And one of those things that I've been thinking about is a simple word, really. And the word that I have under consideration is the word receive. Now, in general, there's a lot of definitions to the word receive. In general, you can receive something by taking hold of it physically, like this. I have received or laid hold of this water. I have received the water in my mouth. I physically received it. Or to joining, I mean, this is the same part, to joining yourself with someone, or to be an associate, or to be associated with them. So, it can be physical, or in the same sense, it can be mental. To take up, you know, to lay hold on, or mentally to lay hold on that is to acknowledge something. That's the first general use, is to take something physically to you, or to acknowledge it mentally. Alright, the second use of it is to receive something that is given. Such as, yesterday we received a package from FedEx. Or receiving a letter, or receiving a gift. It is yours. You didn't do anything for it, but it was yours, as in terms of a gift. A gift is not a reward. You work for your wages, don't you? So Would you look at your employer and say, thank you for the gift when he hands you his paycheck? No, it wasn't a gift. You worked for it, didn't you? So you might be thankful that you have a job and you get paid, and we should be thankful for that. But you're not going to consider that a gift. You consider that wages that you get, that you receive, because you laid hold on that and you took it. Now, I want us to keep that in mind when we are talking about this. And I'm probably not going to go to too many other places other than the first or the first few chapters of John. So turn to John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D, the essential Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So he's talking about in the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. So we have two persons of the Godhead here. This is talking about God the Father and God the Son. The second person. First person is God the Father. Second person is God the Son. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, we're talking about creation. John is bringing up creation to start his gospel. I'm telling you, if you are going to start something, it's great to start here. Because what you establish in creation is that God is all powerful and the creator of everything. And nothing that was made without Him. Without God the Father or God the Son. Now, John is establishing the creation. That is his context. And he says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So what did we have? We had darkness first, didn't we? Darkness remained after the light, but the darkness could not overpower the light. But the darkness is wherever the light is not. You got that? If we turn the lights off in here and put tinfoil on all the windows, it'd be dark in here. No light. So you have light and you have darkness. That's what John's going to talk a lot about that. Jesus talked a lot about that. Light and dark. Now, then he takes a little trip like we all do sometimes, like I did with the chitlins earlier. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about John the Baptist. The Apostle John is referring to John the Baptist. They're not the same person. Do you know I thought that they were for a long time when I was little? I thought John the Baptist and the Apostle John were the same one. If I'd have just thought about it for a minute, how in the world could he be with Jesus after he had been beheaded? You know, we need to think. Now, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man. And you see, this light here is a capital L, just like word is capital W. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Here's where I want to get started. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He's still talking about creation. He's still talking about the whole world that he created. Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, all of them. Even on when they had the Tower of Babel, and he confused the languages. And then he says that man's heart is only evil continually. And he caused the flood to come upon it. He was in that world, and the world knew him not. He was in that created world. He didn't create it and just leave it alone. He was in that world. And yet the world knew him not. They didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. They didn't associate themselves with him. Listen to the next verse. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, recognized him not. It didn't know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, if we just stopped right there, we'd be in a bad mess, wouldn't we? We'd be in a bad mess. We'd have a Bible problem. I'm going to lay something on you today, and you probably have never heard of it. I haven't. But I want us to crank up our brains, and let's think about this with an open mind. I think we all... Look, I'm going to stop and make a little statement here. We all have things that we think is true. Do you read the Bible to try to make it fit what you think is true? Or do you read the Bible to find out what truth is so that you can be conformed to what this says instead of making what this says be conformed to what you think? That's powerful. That's powerful. Was God in the world before Jesus came? Did he come unto his own before Jesus came? Did he? Did he come to Abel? Did he come to Abraham? Did he come to Isaac? Did he wrestle with Jacob? Yes, he came unto his own. Did he come to Moses in the burning bush? Did he come to Joshua? Did he come to Gideon? Did he come to David? Yes, he came to his own. Did he come to them in Mount Sinai and deliver the law to them? And they feared and they quaked and they shook in their boots when they saw the lightnings and the thunderings and the voice of God. They said, we can't stand it. Did they receive it when God gave them the law? When Moses delivered it to them? Did they receive it? When he said to them, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Did he come to them then? He came to them. Did they receive that? Did they receive his teachings? Did they take them up, lay hold on them, swallow them, and live by them? No, they didn't. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He said, try me, prove me, and see whether I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing unto you if you follow what I'm saying. And they didn't receive it. Not all of them. But some of them did. Didn't they? I'm glad this doesn't stop at this verse. Aren't you? I think one of the problems that we have in interpreting Scripture is we try to make Jesus fit the picture of Jesus. You got me? When we see God's people, God choosing the nation, the physical nation of Israel, we see that as a picture of God's all and whole of His spiritual family, and we see the picture in God's natural nation that He chose, and so we take and they're great things, they're great pictures in the Old Testament of God's whole elect family, but then we try to apply the elect part, the spiritual part, to the natural part. Retrograde or backwards to say that every single person of the Israelite nation or a descendant of Abraham is God's spiritual child, and it's not so. Just like you can't say that every Gentile is hell-bound and got the smell of smoke about it. You can't say that either. Hallelujah. Y'all understand, am I making this hard or is it pretty plain? I like to be plain. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. Why didn't they know him? Because they couldn't know him. Not in that sense. Not in the sense where they laid hold on him. Not in the sense where they associated with him. Not in the sense that they looked to him for all the blessings. They can regard him as creator, but they can't do all that. Now, and they should have regarded him as creator, and yet they didn't. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. Why were they his own? Because he called them. Didn't he? Isaiah says, I redeemed you. That meant I I took you out, and thou art mine, His possession. Why are they considered His possession? Because God chose them and made a nation of them out of all the other nations to carry His name. And they were blessed with His worship. They were blessed with everything that God gave them. And without Him, they had nothing. They were no different than anybody else. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now this is not talking about His advent as Jesus Christ in the flesh. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. Or at least I'm settled in my mind about it. But, it says. Don't you like those? But. As many as received Him. That tells me there were some that received Him when He came unto His own. All of them didn't. All the ones that He chose out of that natural nation didn't. But some did. And as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So as many as received Him, it was an evidence that they were born of God. The ones who didn't, I'm going to say a hard word. Those who didn't weren't born of God. That's tough, isn't it? John's tough. But as many as, that means as many as received Him, these men were born. Not of blood. Hallelujah. You know, we talked about respect a couple weeks ago. How we ought not to respect people just because of who their mom and daddy is. Or who their grandfather and grandmother are. Or who their son or daughter are. These people were born. But they weren't born of blood. That knocks out all the, or that knocks out the idea that just because you're a child of Abraham, that you're a child of God. Because just because you are born in a natural lineage, all that gave you was sin anyway. All of being born of a natural man and a natural woman gave you was a natural sinner. That's all that a natural man and a natural woman can produce is a sinner. That's it. But these people were born. But that's not how they might have been born that way, but they weren't born of God that way. You don't get to be born of God by blood. You don't get to be born of God by the will of the flesh either. That means I can't will myself to be born. No matter how bad I want to change my spots, I can't. No matter how I want to change what I am, I can't. A sinner don't want to anyway. A sinner devoid of the Spirit of God can't change his spots and doesn't want to. Now, these people that were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. That means I can't will. The flesh is certainly not going to will it, and the will of man is not going to will to be born again or doesn't want to. That means I couldn't You're not born by me wanting you to. You know, Paul desired that very strongly for his brethren, his kinsmen in the flesh, didn't he? He said, I could wish that myself were accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen in the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. Not talking about a spiritual adoption, talking about being adopted by God as a nation. These people were born, but that received him, they were born, but they didn't have it in themselves to will. Nobody else willed it for them, and they couldn't will it for somebody else. Paul desired to will it for somebody else, but he could not. He could not. Now, there were some of that group that received him. And the ones that received him were born of God. That's pretty plain. It's plain. Listen to this. I told you I was going to prove to you that him coming into his own and his own receiving him not was not talking about Jesus being manifest in the flesh, didn't I? I told you I'd prove it to you. Read the next verse, 14. And the Word was made flesh. This is talking about two different things here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld. John just had to stop and explain this. And a parenthetical expression says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bear witness of Him. He's talking about John the Baptist now. John the Baptist bear witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. That meant he had always been before him. He was before him in creation. He was before him in excellence. He was before him in every way, except for being manifest in the flesh, because Jesus was about 3 months younger than John the Baptist. Thereabouts. But John said, He's always been before me. That means preferred over me and in existence before I was. And of His fullness have all we received. And grace for grace. That means that He's the giver of it. Of His fullness have all we received. When John says we, he's not talking about all the people of the earth. He's talking about the people that have received grace for grace and from His fullness. We got to open our minds about the Word. Let's think about this. For the law was given. I tell you what, that's a hard thing to understand. Grace for grace. That doesn't mean you exhibit grace and then He gives it to you. That means grace upon grace. Grace for the sake of grace. Grace. Abundant grace. That means water on top of water. You got water in there and you pour more water on top. And I'm telling you that of His fullness we've received grace on top of grace. For the purpose of grace. Because He is gracious, we've received grace. He's just talking about an abundance of grace. And of His fullness we've received grace for grace. For the sake of grace. Now, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Do y'all know what John's doing here? John is setting up the difference between what folks think of as natural blessings as opposed to spiritual blessings. He's taken these two things and he's beginning to separate them out. He was in the world and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, there were some people that received him that were spiritual and as opposed to just being part of a natural group. And here he goes, here he starts to separate them again. Law and grace. Law was given by Moses, and Moses was a great man, a called man of God, a preacher of righteousness, a type of Christ, a mediator between God and the nation Israel. A type. He was a good man, but all he gave you, John says, was the law of condemnation, of death, that just explained sin and death more and more and more. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And listen to this. Did we talk about this last time? And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" I can just see this group. Did we talk about this last time? I've been reading and studying about this, so I can't remember what I preached about last week. Everything. The Jews and the Pharisees saw this man, heard of this man, John the Baptist, preaching and baptizing. And they sent some folks that they got an assembly together. They got a group together to inquire. They were going to have a congressional hearing about this man. I use that term, you know, how whenever somebody has something, well, we're going to have a hearing about this and figure out what's going on. They had an official inquiry into John the Baptist. So the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And John confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." That's something good. You know what? You aren't either. No man is the Christ. And they figured, well, since he's answered rightly, I guess, or you know, he didn't take on the nature of Christ. He didn't take on the... if somebody comes up and says, "Hey, you must be the Christ," what would a natural man do? Yep, I'm him. But a spiritual man, a man born of God, is going to say, "Not me. I don't have that power. I am not him." And then they ask him another question. "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." They were asking, they expected, from their perspective, they expected, by mishandling some prophetic scriptures back in the Old Testament, that Elijah would come in the flesh before Christ. Some of them say one day before Christ. They expected, they expected that. He says, "Nope, I'm not him." And then they said, "Art thou that prophet?" And he said, "No, I'm not." Because they expected another prophet to come, which really, they, again, misinterpreted scriptures. When they talked about that prophet, I believe they were talking about Christ. I mean, the scriptures talk about that prophet, you shall raise up unto you one of your own. Talking about Jesus. He says, no, I'm not him. I'm not that prophet based on what you think it is. I'm not him either. And they said unto him, who art thou that we may give answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Why do you think he made such a big deal about calling them Pharisees twice now, two or three times already? And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why did they receive him not? Because they didn't know him. They didn't know him then, and these folks didn't know him now. It wasn't just John that said it. Jesus said it. Later on, Jesus said, you don't know the Father. The reason why you don't know him is because you're not of him. That's why you don't know him. John says, he it is whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet. I am not worthy to unloose. You talk about an attitude of gratitude. You talk about somebody that's got the right perspective of themselves, and you see that in John the Baptist. He says, I'm not even worthy to bow down at his feet and take his shoes off. I'm lower than that kind of servant in comparison to him. I'm telling you folks, that's the same kind of attitude that we ought to have before a holy God. And before people who ask us a reason for the hope that lies within us. Why do you believe in Jesus? Because, and you respond the same way that John the Baptist did. I'm not him. I'm not even worthy to bow down and unloose that man's, my Savior's shoe. He's so far high above me. All powerful. All knowing. All loving. All gracious. And I'm not even worthy to be in his presence. And yet he loved me enough to be in mine. Wow. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Now, turn over a page, a couple chapters. John chapter 3. John records Jesus and Nicodemus' encounter with being born again of the water and the Spirit. And he goes on and describes some more things to Nicodemus about that. In verse 22. I got to back up a little bit. Verse 19. It's hard to start. I shouldn't have left out anything. You just read. And this is in 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, he's not pleading with people to do right. He's saying those that do truth cometh to the light. He's not saying be truthful so that you can have light. He's saying those, he's just making a declaration. This is evidence, folks, of people that are righteous that come to the light. That's an evidence. It's a manifest token that these people are coming to the light, that they're of God. If they don't, I don't know where they go. I don't know what box to put them in. All I know is the ones that come to the light, they're of God. I know that. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. And there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. That's not John the Baptist and the Jews. That was some of his followers, his disciples, that got in a dispute about this. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. He's talking about Jesus. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You see what they're doing here? What they're doing is they're saying, well, you're baptizing, and he's baptizing too. We can't figure this out. We don't know. Who are you, John the Baptist? Art thou that Elias? What are y'all doing here? What are y'all doing this for? If you're not that Christ, then and if you're not Elias, then he can't be the Christ, because you're not Elias. You're not Elijah coming back. So he can't be the Christ if you're not Elijah. You know what Jesus told him later? He says, if thou wilt have it, this is that Elias that first should come. That was Jesus talking to them later on in another. He said, if you'll have it, of course they would not have it, would they? Why wouldn't they have it? John tells them right here. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that which he testifieth, or that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. Oh man, that's bad. If we stopped right there, it would be bad. And no man receiveth his testimony. You know, you've got to read the whole Word of God. You can't cherry pick scriptures. You've got to read it in the context. No man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony, hath set to his seal that God is true. Do you see? Just like he came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Same exact thing going on right here. He says, no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Why doesn't man receive the testimony of God? Because it has to be given to them. It has to be sent to them. And if you have received it, that means you have taken it. It has been delivered unto you, just like my package yesterday. It was delivered to me from somewhere else. No man receiveth the testimony, but if you have received it, you've set to your seal that there's a God and He is true and He is mine and I'm His. It's a manifest token. You receiving that testimony is a token that you are a child of the King. And don't let anybody tell you, try to convince you that you're not. If you have received it. Now, if you haven't received it, I don't know if I've got any help for you. Other than if you've got it on the inside, you need to work it out. Because God putteth in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, if you hadn't worked that out, I can't help you. But what I can tell you then, if God has worked it in you, you need to work it out. That means get it from the inside out. Work it out. That's not talking about work out a problem. That's talking about being manifest. If you've got, if you've been born again and you've bottled that up inside of you, and no one else can see or tell the difference that's been made on you, you need to work that out and start to be manifest that God has worked in you, and take up your cross and follow Him. That's another word, a Greek word, lambano. It means to take it up, lay hold on it, receive it, and follow Jesus. Amen. That's all I got to say about that this morning. There's nothing else more to be said. If God's worked it in you, you need to work it out. Get it out. Let it out. Let the horses run. You're just like a nuclear bomb. Got all that power inside of you, but you're not tapping into any of it. But boy, when that reaction starts taking place and you start following Jesus and you start laying hold of eternal life, there's an explosion in your life. And you can see Him with much more glory than you see Him now. You thank Him for much more than you thank Him for now. You trust Him in many more areas than you trust Him right now. Oh boy. It's getting bigger, isn't it? Isn't it getting bigger? It's like that chitlin we talked about. The more you chew on it, the bigger it gets. What I'm telling you is, chew on it. Chew on it. The Bible's full of all of these things. Receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us. Not only to have received Him as the gift, but that we take Him up and lay hold on Him and set to our seal that God is true. May God bless you, is my prayer. Doors of the church are open for those that have a desire to take up their cross, lay hold on it, and manifest that God is true.